Penguin Random House Audio presents In on the Joke, the original Queens of Stand-Up Comedy by Sean Levy. Read for you by Julianne Irons. For Mickey and Jenny and Mary and Lulu and Paula and Fanny and Alina and Amy and Shannon. Author's note. For years, the most important women in my life, my daughter, Paula, and my partner, Shannon, have reminded me that the books I've written have been a manly lot, and they've cajoled me, in their ways, to write about a woman. And for some time, I've tried to make that happen, without ever quite hitting on the right idea at the right time. The concept for this book was, finally, both. And I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to show the women who matter most to me that I hear and see them. There are already several worthy histories of comedy and of women in comedy that deal, at least in part, with some of the figures and some of the era I've written about. I especially recommend We Killed by Yael Cohen, Seriously Funny by Gerald Nachman, and The Comedians by Cliff Nesteroff. But none hits exactly the target at which I've aimed. The rise of women as stand-up comedy stars during the period between, say, World War II and 1970. As valuable and instructive as I found these and several other books on similar subjects, I recognized a gap in the bookshelf, in the historical record, that I could fill. But still, why in this age of hashtag Me Too and hashtag Time's Up should a man take on the task of writing about a group of women at all? I asked myself that question often as I was starting out and continually as I was working. Well, perhaps because one remembers best the thunder one heard in one's youth, I've got a real feel for and obsessive interest in the popular culture of the years between Pearl Harbor and Watergate. This subject sits right in the middle of my wheelhouse. And imagine getting the chance to research, analyze, and write about Moms Mabley, Minnie Pearl, Elaine May, Phyllis Diller, and Joan Rivers. To visit Harlem and Greenwich Village and North Beach and Las Vegas in their heydays. To track a showbiz story that was sitting right out there in all its details, but hadn't yet been gathered up and nailed down. Of course I wanted this gig. The women in these pages are heroes. Each had the notion to enter a career in which there were virtually no female role models, mentors, or colleagues to emulate or be taught by, or at least none whom she knew of. Each created her own path, unaware, in the main, that other similarly driven women were doing more or less the same thing, more or less at the same time. Each persisted despite social, professional, and even familial doubt, discouragement, resistance, and hostility. And each attained moments, if not decades, of success, sometimes only among insiders, but in several cases in the larger society, and, in a few, with truly iconic impact. I've tried to present their lives and their work with accuracy, empathy, and appreciation, to see them as ordinary women as well as popular entertainers, to understand them in the context from which they emerged, and indicate their deserved places in the history of comedy, of women in entertainment, of American popular culture. I am in awe of every single one of them. Introduction. In October 1983, the Friars Club, that bastion of American comedy royalty, held a roast of comic legend Sid Caesar at the Sheraton Center Hotel in Times Square, one of those ceremonial functions at which showbiz insiders gather to drink and eat and smoke and make wicked, vicious fun of their guest of honor, all to raise money for their often in financial need club or, in flush times, for charity. Comedian Buddy Hackett was the roastmaster, and such Friars icons as Henny Youngman, Jack Carter, Dick Capri, and Jackie Vernon joined in the mockery of the honoree, which was, as at every such roast, decidedly vulgar and outrageous. Some 2,000 men laughed appreciatively, and among them, as Hackett confirmed to a newspaper the next day, was not one single woman. Women? There were no women at the roast. They're not allowed. There was a time when they weren't even allowed into the clubhouse. Mixed into the throng were some guests of club members, people who weren't entertainment professionals, but who were happy to spend a goodly sum for the experience of being among a constellation of comedy stars and listening to raunchy jokes for a few hours. One of these was Philip Downey, a slender, dapper, quiet, mustachioed fellow, who was maybe a little pale for a guy from Southern California, but who blended in like any other civilian at one of these wingdings, laughing at the bawdy jibes, saying a few polite hellos and goodbyes, and mostly spending his afternoon looking all around the room as if awestruck at the spectacle. Nobody seemed to have made note of him when he arrived, when he got up to visit the restroom, when he left. But the next day, he was the talk of the friars. Philip Downey didn't exist. Underneath that wig and mustache and tailored suit and demure manner was Phyllis Diller, a comedy legend of more than two decades standing, but someone who, simply by virtue of her gender, could not be admitted to the friars as a member or be permitted to attend one of the club's stag parties slash roasts without resorting to subterfuge. "I've always wanted to eavesdrop," she told the New York Post, which ran a front-page photo the next day of Phyllis in her Downey drag exiting a Sheraton Center men's room. "It was the funniest, dirtiest thing I ever heard in my life." 2 years would go by before the friars, as if shamed into it, made Phyllis the focus of a roast of her own. There was an even bigger turnout than for Sid Caesar's tribute. And another year would pass before they offered her membership in their ranks, making her the first woman ever admitted to their self-appointed comedy pantheon. It wasn't an honor that she needed. For more than 25 years, Phyllis Diller had been a household name across America, and indeed, the English-speaking world. A star of nightclubs, theaters, television, movies, Broadway, even classical concert halls. She was rich, famous, widely imitated, and still working actively as she approached 70. Indeed, she was the most well-known and wealthy comedian in the room the day Philip Downey snuck into the roast. But there was a great sense of justice finally being done as she was anointed by her peers and granted a place among them. It was as if not only a woman had earned a place in the highest ranks of American comedy, but as if women in general were seen as deserving of such recognition. Phyllis Diller had broken ground by attending a friar's roast, if in disguise, and by carrying on in her craft and career until the friars had no choice but to acknowledge her as one of their own. But then, Phyllis Diller was one of a handful of women in comedy who had broken ground, blazed trails, knocked down doors, and made careers and legends for themselves, regardless of the opinions of men. As in so many aspects of her career, indeed in having a career as a comedian at all, she simply would not be denied. That pretty much sums up the history of women in stand-up comedy, particularly the early history, when the women in this audiobook rose as more or less the first women to think that they could, be as funny and sharp and entertaining as male joke tellers, and who chose to pursue careers at it. They worked alone for the most part, both in the sense that they were almost all solo performers, and in the sense that, in many cases, they didn't know about one another, or see one another as doing the same thing as themselves. They faced the indifference, puzzlement, naysaying, and sometimes enmity of agents, managers, impresarios, audiences, critics, fellow performers, even their families. And yet they persisted, persevered, pushed forward, making their way even farther and higher, if only incrementally, and clearing space not only for themselves, but for the women working alongside them, and for the women who followed them in the curious business of making people laugh for a living. By the late 1960s, when several of these women were fully established in their careers, the idea of a woman standing up and telling jokes no longer seemed freakish or...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?